specific to the poor, rural, and multiculturally ethnic populations in practice-based evidence and advocacy for more than 30 years. He is presently professor of public health research and practice at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, where he directs the Center for the Social, Community, and Health Research and Evaluation. I must say, Joseph will be talking to you about a particular organization that we're both concerned with, but I need to say to you in his honor that he has volunteered his time freely to this organization to help them with the development of the research project he'll be talking about, and has in fact been twice to Swaziland on their behalf, all for free. So I have to give him credit for doing that. Please welcome Dr. Telfair.
Good morning, and it's truly an honor of mine to be on the distinguished panel, and Dr. Elnata Levy, as someone who's been around a while, and have just I admire your work. I feel very honored to be on this panel today. I want to speak to you about a project. It's a fairly new project, but it's a fairly significant one. I've been fortunate, as Dr. Ellen has said, to actually be given the opportunity to actually lead and develop this effort. And it's really in line, I appreciate the previous speakers, in terms of developing global health project, because a lot of things that was mentioned, particularly in the last slide, are things that we've been paying attention to. So, boy, yeah, and that was no paid, unplanned, it just happened. So I appreciate it. And I want to thank everyone for that, and I have nothing to disclose. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the issue. Challenges related to childhood households. Part of it, you know, is that there is this sort of broader issue of where childhood households fit. And children, as you all know, result in childhood households for a number of reasons. HIV mortality, violent conflict, distribution of resources, just being poor, as it says, lack of social structure, and so forth. And in this particular country that we're in, all of these are reasons why there exist both orphans and in childhood households. So the program and services that exist, particularly in southern African countries like Swaziland, the other big challenge of this in terms of trying to put together a program where you actually see outcomes as they relate to these larger developmental goals, which is reducing of mortality, promotion of wellness and health, you have a lot of groups that work really hard to do the best they can. But unfortunately, there's a fragmented, there's usually very little collaboration among sort of governmental, non-governmental type of agencies. Some of them are very single problem focused. They deal only with one thing, like providing food or providing clothing or, you know, clean water and sanitation. But there's no crossover. There's no things. And as a social worker, one of the things that we always look for is the ability to integrate services, because we know that integrated services in the long run is where you get the greatest impact. And then there's just a lack of clear understanding, really, in terms of how effective these programs are. So here's a map of Swaziland, and the unique thing about Swaziland, as you can see, is that it's besides the fact that it's one of the few monarchies left in Africa, the other big thing on it is that it's a landlocked country that's surrounded by very interesting countries. South Africa, as you can see, is on one side, Mozambique is on the other side, and what you don't see above it is Zimbabwe. So think about this in terms of what we know going on in that part of Africa, and think about how that might influence this. And the interesting piece is that a lot of those things, apart from even on the borders, do not actually affect a lot of the work, a lot of things that goes on in that country. And so the area in which a lot of this work is taking place is in Manzini, which is one city you work in, but Bambane is actually the capital of the country itself. So, a little bit about Swaziland. So Swaziland, based on a couple demographics, it's in South Africa and it's surrounded that way. It's roughly 1 million people, mostly where a slight majority are female. It's a young population, so most people are between ages of 14 and 44. Unfortunately, though, it has a really unique distinction. It's almost 70% of the population are below poverty, but there's a bit even more. There's an extreme poverty, which is less than a couple bucks a day, and 24% of them are food insecure. The unique thing about Swaziland as a country is that it's mostly a rural country. The major thing there are crops, but not everyone benefits from that. It actually has another unfortunate distinction, which being one of the highest per capita HIV positive countries in the world, and this particularly affects women between young women, between the ages of 25 and 29. And in the household, children who had a household, this statistic is what came out that in terms of the work that we're considered in, is that roughly 1.9% of the population are child-headed households, but the majority of them actually live in the poorest regions, which are the rural regions. And if we go back to the map, I'm sorry, just really quickly, Swaziland is divided up into four regions, and where Manzini is and where Mbabane is are the more wealthy regions, and everything else, as you can see, or even the larger regions, are the poorer regions. So that's where a lot of the work is done. So I just want to talk a little bit about the study. You will hear a lot, I think, about what goes on in Southern Africa related to other challenges. And you'll hear about challenges, and you hear about recommendations. One of the things that really became clear for this group, which is, and I'll actually make a comment on this group that I work with, the SOHO, which is Saving Orphans and Through Health and Resources, is that it decided that what it really needs to do is that it is mostly a program that focuses on providing services like food, shelter, and support. But we realized that was not really getting at the real issue. These were more dealing with issues related to both infrastructure and related to this was more of a disparity focused, as opposed to the challenges that has to do with infrastructure. So what it decided to do was that it looked into and it worked with another programs, decided we need to do something a little bit broader that affects us. So what we did was that we sat down and we had many conversations. We did an exploratory visit, and then we went back and we had an in-depth visit. And what we came up with was what I'm going to show you today is a prospectus on a project that we think is going to be eventually very doable. It's a collaborative between governmental agencies and non-government agencies, the NGOs that exist in the country itself. We call it improving, it's just the working title is improvement of programs for children and issues, but the study itself, sort of in a broad sense, is sort of doing a couple of things. Not too long ago, the UNICEF did a very small study in one of the regions, and in the region that I showed you, the region that Manzini is in. And they wanted to really ask the question, really sort of narrow down, what are the challenges that face poor children and families in this country? And so they came up with a study, and they came up with a set of indicators that they thought were real critical to address, and then made the recommendation to the country that you all should pay attention to these things. So, UNICEF and Save the Children were very happy with the study, and of course, as usual, the whole idea of sort of, it's one thing to do the study and get results, it's another thing to go out and to start, making differences, and that's where they hit the wall. So what we decided is that we need to sort of get engagement that's sort of bi-directional engagement, which is that having the people who are affected as well as those who make decisions involved in decisions how it is made. So we thought it would be more systematic approach. And so we know, as I mentioned earlier, there's a number of services that already exist. The problem is that what services can you combine together that's reasonable within a country that's relatively poor in order to be able to make these services so that that you can look at efficacy and effectiveness. So the concept of a service package or a service cluster was what it is that we began to do, and we began to say, well, how can we make this work? I apologize for so much text on the page here, but I just want to point out a few things. The overall goal of this project, and by the way, how we came up with the goal was a group process. These government and non-government agencies all sat down together, and it was a very large group of people. And these are on the ground people doing the work. These are the strategic objectives you see here. The major part of it that I want to show you is the first bullet, which is the establishment and sustainment of this collaborative partnership. Because right now it doesn't exist. So the idea that if you're going to perpetuate a program that's going to make a difference in the long run is that you really do need to be able to have people commit, and it's from the government onto the NGOs that exist, that something can be done. So all the other things that you need to work on, you need to have that commitment. So that was the first thing. Okay. And so the second part of it is, though, is that we don't have evidence. And we all know that you critically need the evidence. So the third and the last bullet allows us to really get at that. So this is the planned study itself. We wanted to address these types of issues related to common language, related to the sense that orphans compete actually with others who are poor children and families. We also know about silos of services, and we know that for the longest time, the support for such a study didn't really exist. So we planned the study, and we thought we need to do that based on prevention-based interventions. And we know that we can, by doing the study, we'll get a better understanding of a lot of these types of issues that mitigate the ability to care for families in poverty and those with HIV. And so we worked on that. Now, we plan the study in two phases. The first phase is a pilot study that actually focuses on gathering information by engaging people in the country. One of the things that everyone found is that in the country, believe it or not, the actual rate of participation in large data gathering processes is in the 90%. For this country itself. And I mean, a lot of it has to do with the fact that the government is involved with things. So that's the first part. And the first part we think will be funded by philanthropic groups. The second, of course, is a larger study, and we hope to implement that. So our approach then is very solution-oriented. It integrates the people from the actual children themselves all the way up to the government in the actual development, execution, and work of the projects itself, and we expect to see critical outcomes. We expect to have, these are the core questions to be able to answer from the project itself: what models work best, what resources are needed, how can we make this work, and then what are the priorities to get folks out of this predicament? And these are our expected outcomes. I think it's my time up.
Take a moment.
And so that's, I can back up, but these are our expected outcomes, and I think I'm done. Thank you.